You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
But this one's for Pat!
That's right, you are Locked On Broncos. It is time to drop some knowledge. I am Chad Jensen, the publisher of MileHighHuddle.com. With me is my co-host Luke Polglaze, a semi-pro football coach and NFL draft analyst. Luke, we've got a new intro for the podcast. What do you think of it, my friend?
I love it. A new sound, a new look. It fits.
We had to spruce it up a little bit because we are committed to bringing you a daily podcast focused entirely on your Denver Broncos, and we try to check in with you at least 5 days a week. And although we're going to talk about the news, we're not here to just report it. We're here to break it down, do a deep dive on your favorite team. So what helps us out the most, aside from your listening, is retweeting the episodes on Twitter. Share them on Facebook and help us get the word out. And also, check out our work over at MileHighHuddle.com. We have tons of premium Broncos content. More deep dive stuff for the Broncoholics out there, whether it's premium videos, draft content, all 22 film breakdowns. Check it out. Plus, our premium subscribers get 10% off on tickets, 10% off on Broncos team merchandise. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Broncos. Just take a second, open up the phone, open up Twitter, find at Locked On Broncos, give us a follow. The home of our show, of course, is Audio Boom, but also be sure that you're subscribing on iTunes, and if you are an Android user, Stitcher. We have a ton of content coming up, and we are excited to be sharing it with you. You're not going to want to miss a single episode. Now, today, we're going to talk about a few things, but over the weekend, I put out a piece, little video, written story combo type of article about the Broncos situation at offensive tackle. Now, if you look at it, of course, the top two guys on the depth chart were big free agent signings from 2016. You have Russell Okung and then Donald Stevenson, and it's safe to say, speaking for myself anyway, that they were disappointments. The Broncos invested pretty significantly in both guys, and neither one really seemed to provide John Elway a solid return on that investment. And the Broncos are nearing a decision time on both players. Looking at Russell Okung, the Broncos have up until from now, basically up until March 9th, to pick up Russell Okung's option. Now, here are the details. If they decide to keep him, they're going to be on the hook for 2 years, $19.5 million. If they cut him loose, the Broncos would save, just in 2017 alone, $10.1 million on the salary cap. Now, you look at Stevenson, they're also in a decision time mode type deal. They signed him on a three-year, $14 million deal last year, $10 million in guarantees. Now, that's not full guarantees when you hear, he got $46 million guaranteed. What he's really got guaranteed was $6 million, okay? They've already paid him the $6 million upon signing. The remaining $4 million will become fully guaranteed for Donald Stevenson if they don't release him before March 14th. But if the Broncos cut him, they're going to save $7 million over the next two seasons. So, you look at the top two guys and the guy underneath them, as far as I guess you could call him your swing tackle, developmental guy, second-round pick in 2015, Tyson Brailo, Luke, I argue in this piece that maybe the Broncos would be better off just cutting bait, cutting their losses, and starting over, because you look at the offensive system that is incoming for as it pertains to Tyson Brailo, Luke, and he's a zone guy. I shudder to think how he's going to perform under those type of power scheme principles. But what are your thoughts? What do you see in these top three guys? Is any guy salvageable? And if so, at what cost?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, you have to remember that Tyson Brailo isn't really that much of a zone guy. I mean, let's be fair. He doesn't really have the movement skills to survive in the zone, and he doesn't really have the strength to survive in a power scheme. So
Touché.
He's kind of an enigma. He's just kind of not really suited in either scheme. It doesn't really match kind of his skill set. So I do think that You know, he is kind of on the outside looking in it when it comes to this. I don't think his draft stock is really going to kind of hold him on this roster much longer. You know, NFL teams will certainly give a second round pick kind of an extra shot because they did take them in the second round as opposed to someone in the seventh before they just cut bait. But, you know, I do think that Sombrello is certainly treading on thin ice at this point. In regards to the other two, I think Stevenson would be great value as a swing tackle for most teams in the NFL, but he's a pricey one. And I don't think that there's really another tackle on Denver for him to merit that swing designation, which means he's going to start. Mm-hmm. And for that quality starting, for that kind of price, I just don't see it happening. Quite frankly, I it would not shock me one bit to see Sombrello gone from this team, to see you know, to see Stevenson gone from this team, to see Okung starting at one tackle spot, and then kind of to see the Broncos mix and match a bit with their interior guys. Obviously, Michael Schofield has played tackle. It was a disaster, quite frankly, a couple of years back, but you know, that doesn't mean that they wouldn't try him there again. Billy Turner on that line has played some tackle. They used him mostly at guard last year, so I do think that there's some options for what they can kind of do. I just don't know that, you know, with the revolving door they had last year, first it was, you know, Stevenson and then Sombrello and then Stevenson and back and forth. I think that they do need to come up with an answer this year, and I don't think it involves either one of those players.
Yeah, and you look at Ty Sombrello, and you try and figure out what the Broncos were thinking when they picked him. I think you have to look at it through the prism of he was a big guy, athletic, and he was used to playing at altitude. And we've seen over time, Luke, you've brought this up many times in our months as podcasting partners here, that the Broncos like going after big fellas in particular, whether it's on the offensive line or defensive line. Even though most of the time that manifests on the offensive line. They like finding the big boys who have experience playing at altitude. I think it's safe to say that, you know, they overdrafted him. He was a second-round pick. But we saw with Monte Ball that Elway, also a second-round pick in 2013, is totally willing to cut bait with a high-round pick if they're absolutely showing no hope for developing in the way the Broncos need them to or envision them in so doing. Now, you look at Stevenson, you look at Sombrello, they're guys who I could easily see being gone. The question is Okung, because Okung really is, I mean, he wasn't terrible in 2016, his first year with the Broncos, but his performance within the scope of the amount of money that he's on deck to make on his current contract with the Broncos, those scales don't balance. And so, again, he negotiated that contract himself without an agent, and he really, and he talked about this back when he did sign the deal, that he was willing to forego a little money up front on that first year in order to reap the benefits in the later years of the deal, in essence, betting on himself, right? However, his performance didn't really justify what the Broncos are now faced with having to decide. Do you think, Luke, This is a guy, proud guy, who, you know, he's an accomplished player, Super Bowl ring, Pro Bowl, negotiated his own contract. Is this a guy you think is going to be open to maybe renegotiating these remaining four deals on his contract to stick around? Or do you think he's just like, look, I believe I'm one of the best left tackles in the league, and if you're not willing to pay me what we negotiated, cut me loose?
Well, I think there is kind of that disconnect of him having been the one at the bargaining table to begin with. I do think that that's kind of just, you know, it's unusual. And quite frankly, we don't really see this typically in the NFL. Most players go through an agent. They leave that up to their agent who has the experience. And so this is kind of, untreaded waters, so to speak, here with Okung. I do think that he likes it here in Denver, would be my guess just from the comments he's made. I certainly think he was probably the best of the three tackles really last year, which isn't saying a whole lot, but it is saying a little bit of something. And just from the small amounts of guaranteed money on that deal, I think Denver can afford to keep Okung on this roster for a little bit longer, even just because they have the ability to just cut ties with him if they need to, because that deal that he signed was so incredibly team friendly. Now, you know, you could also say that because that deal was so team friendly, who's to say he wouldn't agree to something else that's very team friendly as well?
Right, and the problem is basically this: is if they keep him on the contract as is, okay, and they decide to pick up his option, they are basically locked in for 2 years. at $20 million, just shy of $20 million. Now you look at the left tackle landscape around the NFL, and for your top shelf, even your not your elite guys, but that next group of guys, they're you know to have an upper shelf or a decent left tackle in the NFL, you got to account for about $10 million on your salary cap per year, somewhere in that ballpark, and that's what they would be paying Okung in essence if he were to stick around. And again, in my piece that I put up on MileHighHuddle.com, I advocate for them to just start from scratch. There's a few guys that Luke and I have talked about on the show in free agency who could come in and you know be a Band-Aid while they develop some guys that they could possibly find in this year's draft class. But really, when I boil it down, I do think the Broncos need to move on, no matter what, from Ty Sambrylo and Donald Stevenson. And really where it comes to Okung is I don't like him at his current contract. If he's willing to, you know, reduce that, make it a, you know, move money around, whatever you want to call it, I'd be okay with him, with the Broncos rolling, with the new coaching staff, who have already said, Mike McCoy last week talked a lot about the fact that Jeff Davidson and, of course, John Benton, the two offensive line coaches, they will, it was like a guarantee, will get more out of this offensive line.
Right, and I think the flip side of that, too, is I don't love him at his money right now either, but I think part of the fact that I don't love that kind of money being spent on him is that you're also spending quite a bit on Stevenson. So, I mean, it's not that, you know, outlandish to move Okung to right tackle if you can get a, you know, a left tackle in the draft. If you can move Okung to right tackle, put that young guy at left tackle and get by with that, you got to remember that's a rookie deal that player's going to be coming in on. Mm-hmm. So you can ostensibly just split the money a little bit finer instead of paying Stevenson, you know, however many millions he's getting.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's the Broncos, I think we can expect them to make some changes there. It would be unprecedented, I would think, for the Broncos to get rid of all three of their top tackles, but it doesn't necessarily mean they won't do it. So we're going to move on and talk about something else, but before we do, I want to talk about a study done by the Interactive Advertising Bureau and Edison Research, who basically put out this study that said that consumers are highly likely to purchase from podcast sponsors. According to a survey of 1,000 podcast listeners, nearly two-thirds, 65% of them, were more willing to consider purchasing products and services that they learned about during a podcast. 60% added that given an equal price and quality, they prefer to purchase from the companies that advertise on their favorite podcasts. So if you're listening to this show as a business owner, that's some powerful data. And if you'd like to reach the male demographic in particular, between the ages of 18 and 44, your company should be sponsoring this podcast because that demographic makes up 98% of our listenership. So check it out. If it's something you want to reach out to us at lockedonbroncos@gmail.com, we can spitball it. Now, the next thing we're going to discuss here also kind of centers around the offensive line, but also the defensive line. It's a question we received on Twitter from AquamanH2O, who asks, best free agents available for offensive line and defensive line? And then, of course, his follow-up question, maybe we should start with that first, is what should we offer Okung to return? My thing real quick on that, Luke, before we talk about free agents with Okung, it kind of piggybacks on our previous topic, but I would think if they could get him to accept somewhere between $5 to $8 million, that would be the sweet spot. But there's absolutely no guarantee that he will, and there's a good chance he could find a better contract on the open market.
Right, and at this point, if Okung wants that kind of stability, I have to imagine that a player like Okung, who's been around this league for quite a number of years, he's going to see a guy like McCoy coming in, and he knows who McCoy is, who is a player's coach. And he puts his players in a position to succeed. And McCoy struggled in San Diego, you know, not least because the offensive line, quite frankly, couldn't stay healthy. I mean, a couple of years ago, they were down to like a third or fourth string center.
Yep.
I mean, they were down to just scraps and, you know, plucked off the veteran pile in the NFL. So a guy like McCoy, we haven't really seen for a couple of years what he can do with a complete and healthy offensive line. So if I'm a lineman, that's pretty appealing to me.
Absolutely. Now, we look at the free agent side of AquamanH2O's question. The best free agents for the offensive line, we'll start there. And according to SpotTrack, which is a phenomenal resource, phenomenal website that, you know, has contracts, salary cap, free agents, it's a phenomenal resource for content creators and publishers and writers like ourselves. I look at this, and I let's just start at tackle, because I'm the one that said basically we need to start over at tackle if you're the Broncos. The top guys that they have according to market value are Andrew Whitworth, Cincinnati Bengals left tackle, who's 35 years old, okay? Then you have Luke Jokel, who I don't want anywhere around the Mile High City. Matt Khalil. Luke, I'll let you wax poetic on him. Then you have the right tackle guys predominantly, which Sebastian Vollmer, Goster Cherilis, Andre Smith. There's Mike Remmers, who we all remember Von Miller embarrassing badly in Super Bowl 50. Riley Reiff is a left tackle guy who I like as a possibility, who I think could shine in this kind of power scheme with a little bit of zone principles infused into it. And then you go down, and there's some more guys farther down the list. Of that group, Luke, at tackle, who are some of the guys you think would, A, be a scheme fit with what the Broncos are trying to do this year with Mike McCoy and Davidson and Benton? And are they realistic financially? What would the cost be to bring them in? We know the Broncos are probably going to have somewhere between 38 to 45 million in available cap space without making any cuts. So the war chest is going to have some lettuce to spend.
Yeah, and I think the thing you have to remember is any team that's going to lose multiple tackles needs to replace them. That team this year is Minnesota. They're going to be losing Matt Khalil. I'm not a big fan by any means. Andre Smith, and I know we're going to get an outcry of people asking, as they do every year, what about Jake Long? Well, he was in Minnesota and didn't really do anything on that one-year deal. So I think they're going to have to go out and sign a couple tackles, because TJ Clemmings is, quite frankly, not good, and he's been just horrific for them at tackle. A lot of draft evaluators had him as a first-round pick a couple years ago coming out of Pitt. So that's one where I don't think the production matches the hype, and I do think they're going to have to go out and find someone. Honestly, it's an easy link just to say Andrew Whitworth ends up there, just because he's probably the top tackle on the market.
He's like Joe Thomas light.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to call it, they're both white, so they're both pretty light, as it turns out. But he's definitely had the experience with playing in a very physical division. Obviously, the AFC North, you love to see offensive linemen in that division, because they're so just scrappy and just fun to watch, because they play ugly. Quite honestly, the one guy I'm really going to keep an eye on, outside of Riley Reiff, who I think gets snapped up by some team for huge money, if not Detroit, if not Denver, it's going to be somebody. Sebastian Vollmer. I mean, he's kind of on the wrong side of 30 for an offensive lineman at 32, but New England has their two tackles. They've got the one Marcus Cannon, who they re-signed.
Right.
They gave him pretty big money. And then on the other side, you've got the kid whose name.
Kid.
Yeah, the Colorado kid whose name I'm completely forgetting right now.
I'll think of it.
Yeah, which I really should. But, they have what they need. And so I think, quite frankly, Sebastian Vollmer is going to be out of town next year, which means some team is going to get an aging veteran tackle, kind of not unlike Russell Okung last year, if you think about it. He was in a very, very similar spot. I was trying to think of the name. It's Nate Solder.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, New England's set there, so, Vollmer's probably going to hit the market.
Yep.
Apart from that, you look through this list, there's a lot of guys on here who may get, small money to go somewhere else, but there's not really a lot of talent here when you come down to it. And prepare yourself. The barrage of tweets about Jake Long is coming.
I like the idea of bringing in an aging Andrew Whitworth on a short-term team-friendly deal and just say, hold it down while we develop our rookie draft picks on the left side. And if Okung sticks around, kick him over to the right side and develop. You look at the interior, the two guys that jump out to me here that are going to be high-dollar guys that the Broncos will be able to compete to get one of these guys if they wish, are TJ Lang coming from Green Bay and Ron Leary, part of that phenomenal Cowboys offensive line. Basically, the only guy on that aside from what's the right tackle? Oh, Doug Free, who hasn't made a Pro Bowl, but still, he's a good player. He would project well in the power system. He is 27, so he's in an age group. He's about where Luis Vasquez was when the Broncos signed him from San Diego. Ended up being an all-pro first team his first year in Denver. A solid player, and in fact, I don't know why. Well, similar, too, in back issues. In his time in Denver, Luis Vasquez got off to a phenomenal start. His first 2 years with the Broncos were great. Then he started struggling with that back problem, and that's why the Broncos cut him after the Super Bowl. And, you know, he still remains out of the league. Ron Leary, if they can get him, Luke, for, you know, a good 2 or 3 years of his prime right now and hope that nothing goes sideways with the back. You know, he made $2.5 million last year. You can probably expect he's going to at least double that in his annual average salary in 2017, I would think.
Yeah, I think he and really T.J. Lang are the class, so to speak, of this class of free agents. I think Lang is going to, again, command very, very big money. I wouldn't be surprised if a team overpays a guy who we wouldn't expect to get this much money in Kevin Zeitler, the Cincinnati guard. He's still young. He's 26 years old, coming off his rookie deal. And I think some team, again, my prediction is it's going to be Minnesota. They got to spend money on that line because they're losing a guard themselves in Brandon Fusco. They're going to have to spend money on someone. I think they're going to spend big money on either him or Lang. Quite frankly, I think some team with even more cap space is just going to throw ridiculous money at TJ Lang. Honestly, the cream of this offensive line crop is really at the guard position, then tackle, and then there's just nothing at center.
Yeah, well, the Broncos hold, 10 picks, I think, going into the draft. I might be one off. Apologies if I am, but I'm pretty sure they own 10 picks when you include what they're expected to get in the compensatory. So they can get a couple of veteran band-aids, even if they are on the back nine of their career, to hold it down for a year or two while they develop their draft picks. I think they'll be okay. Now we go to the second part of this question, and then we'll get out of here for today. Looking at the defensive line, Luke, there are a few names here that really speak to me. And starting off, I mean, let's look at where the Broncos have a hole. Sylvester Williams is in all likelihood gone, nose tackle. They chose not to pick up his fifth-year option, which means that they're going to let him hit the market in all likelihood. And I understand why they didn't, because if you looked at what they would have had to have paid him in 2016, he would have basically been the highest-paid 3-4 nose tackle in the NFL per what they would have been forced to pay on that scale that is collectively bargained by the players and the owners. So they're letting him hit the market, and in all likelihood, he's been solid, but he's not a guy necessarily to write home about. So they have a hole at nose tackle, but five tech defensive end, the spot opposite of Derek Wolfe, is another hole. You know, you would hope that Adam Gotsis can take a big leap forward in his second year, but you can't count on it. You know, and in fact, recently Bill Kolar was quoted as talking about how Adam Gotsis needs to put some weight on. And, you know, Luke and I joke sometimes about the All or Nothing show we watched Amazon Prime did following the Arizona Cardinals around 2 years ago. 2 years ago. Anyway, talking about how they're marveling, Steve Keim, the general manager, and a couple of the other scouting guys, marveling at Adam Gotsis' size and his trunk in particular. We joke about that. But Bill Kolar talked about his needing to put more, develop a better NFL body for his position. I still think coming off that knee last year and an up-and-down rookie campaign, I still think he's a year or two out from really making an impact. Calais Campbell, Luke, is a guy that jumps out to me who's basically a plug-and-play. He's 30 years old. Yes, he will. Even though he's at 30, he's going to command a relatively max contract, but if the Broncos want to get back in the business of dominating in the run game and getting after the passer, you know, the double whammy, I think Campbell's the guy you got to target early on in free agency.
Yeah, well, I know Nick, you know, friend of the show, he's definitely written about him on Mile High Huddle. He's linked him to Denver, and for good reason. I mean, Calais Campbell is still in good enough shape. He's still in good enough ability to compete. So he's definitely a name you got to watch. If you want to talk pass rushers, I don't think he's a base guy, but I think he's kind of a situational guy you can bring in, is Carl Klug. He's been a rotational guy in Tennessee for years. I mean, he's started or he started just 7 games in his 6-year career, but he's played in 16 games in 6 out of those 5 seasons, and the other was 14 was last year. So he's pretty consistent. You know, the guy will be around for you. He has some pass rush ability. I really like what he brings for just pure rotational value to a defensive line. I think he can slot in nicely into a rotation. But I mean, if we're going to be real here, the cream of this D-line crop is at 3-4 nose tackle. You have got some war daddies coming out in this one.
Who do you like?
And I mean, oh, where do I begin? You got, you know, Alan Branch obviously coming fresh off a ring.
Yep.
In New England. He is a fantastic run stuffer. He's bounced around. I mean, he's 32 years old. He's obviously going to be on the older side of this class, but you know, he can get out there and stop the run. I mean, quite frankly, with the best of them, he's definitely one to watch. Benny Logan, I think, is going to hit the free agent market out of Philadelphia. He's kind of an interesting character. I don't know that he necessarily fits as a nose tackle in a standard 3-4, but of course, you know, if it's going to be a more of a Wade Phillips 3-4, he does kind of slot in there. And he's 6'2", 315. So he's got that kind of size you look for. Man, Brandon Williams in Baltimore is a beast. And they've got this undrafted kid, Michael Pierce, I believe, who is just blowing things up. So a guy like Brandon Williams, who's, again, 6'1", 340, but can move, he's going to hit the streets. Another guy, Ledger Doosable, 2 years ago, he was with the Jets. This year he was in Buffalo, followed Rex Ryan. He's 30 years old, but he can still play. I mean, this is a 3-4 nose tackle class that it's just woof for a free agent class that you're talking about. Then you got guys, you know, along the defensive line at the defensive end position. Couple guys, obviously Carl Klug, I really liked, and my other guy there is Calais Campbell. But man, this is a free agent class where if Denver doesn't come out with a low valued nose tackle, a veteran, man, they got options.
Yeah, the war chest is going to be pretty full, and I think we can expect Elway to make even a few cuts on the salary cap, which should free up more money. So this is probably going to be one of those reload years where he makes some splashes, and I would expect the primary benefactors to be the defensive line and the offensive line. So we'll continue to break it down as we hear stuff and as we get a little bit closer to free agency, which is basically less than a month away when it opens. So we're getting closer, but hey, thanks for being with us today. Spread the good word. Be sure to follow the show at Locked On Broncos on Twitter. You can find Luke on Twitter at Luke Polglaze and myself at Chad N. Jensen. We love hearing from you, so keep hitting us up. We love getting the questions. Keep sending them in. Check out Locked On NFL Draft right now, guys. That's a great show. If you really want to, you know, put your finger on the pulse of this draft class, that's one of the best ways to educate yourself on it. And don't forget to subscribe. For Luke, I'm Chad. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Mile High Huddle. Huddle.